We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, God Values Love and Justice, from the series Exodus, and explores God's timeless principles of justice and mercy, showing Christ as the fulfillment of perfect love and righteousness. Pastor Jeff will get started in just a moment, but first, we want to tell you that you can find many more resources to help you grow in your walk at PastorJeff.com. And that's also where you can sign up for weekly email devotions from Pastor Jeff. Visit PastorJeff.com today to sign up for encouragement right in your inbox. Now here's today's program.
How about this one that we skipped over in verse 16? He who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death. So kidnapping. You steal a kid, whether that kid's in your possession or whether you've stolen him and given him away, that deserves death as well. Why? Because God cares for kids. God cares for children. God loves them. His love brings forth his justice. And there were capital offenses for that, for premeditated murder, for violence or cursing your parents, or for kidnapping. What does he say about physical injury? Now notice this. If men, verse 18, have a quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or his fist, and he does not die but remains in bed, if he gets up and walks around outside on his staff, then he who struck him shall go unpunished. Now watch this. He shall only pay for his loss of time and shall take care of him until he is completely healed. Man, you get in a fight with somebody, you strike somebody with a stone, you punch them, they don't die. I mean, they're able to get up, they're able to walk around, but they can't work. Guess who's paying their disability? You are. How long do you have to pay it? Until they are completely healed. Why? Because every single life matters to God. And if you had the responsibility to get in the fight, you have the responsibility to walk until they're completely healed. That's what it means. I mean, do you see God's care for people? Do you see God's care for the marginalized? Do you see how he sets boundaries? Now, why does he have to set all this stuff up? He sets it up for the same reason that you parents set things up. Even when you parents make super clear statements, curfew is at 11, and your kid comes in at 11:30, and then they begin to debate with you. But you don't understand, so-and-so was doing this, and so-and-so did that, or there was a traffic accident, it was this. That's case law. We're gonna take a look at that case and see if you have a case. It's not just the law, it's how does it apply to the bigger whole of what we're trying to accomplish. I mean, you see it with slavery. If God would have said to the slave owners, yeah, just kick people out, you can't have slaves, let them go, that would not have been good for the slave. How would they have made a living? How could they have had anything? It would have not been good for the slave owner who was earning his living through those who were helping him. So he builds cases around those things so that both groups of people are helped in a way that honors God. He does this with murder. He does this with everything so that people know that the heart of God is to be honored and that the heart of God is to see that all people get treated fairly and are loved. Notice this, verse 20. If a man strikes his male or female slave with a rod and he dies at his hand, he shall be punished, which means he's gonna suffer vengeance. If you kill a slave, you can't kill a slave. You're gonna be punished for killing a slave. They don't belong to you. They're not your property, people belong to God. If, however, he survives a day or two, no vengeance shall be taken, for he is property. In other words, if you punish your slave with a rod, but that slave lives, but is out of commission for a couple days, you're losing their ability to earn you income. That's your loss, right? That's what he says. Notice what he goes on to say. Verse 22, if men struggle with each other, and strike a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely. You see it? Two men get in a fight and a woman who's pregnant gets in the middle of it and she gets struck and she gives birth prematurely, yet there's no injury. He shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him and he shall pay as the judges decide. Two men get in a fight, woman who's pregnant gets punched, she goes into delivery early, the baby's delivered, the baby's healthy. The mom is healthy. I, as the husband, can say, you hit my wife, and here's what I demand, and the judges can make you pay what I demand. You don't have to give your life for that, but you do give remuneration for the fact that you hit my wife and she went into labor prematurely and you could have killed my kid. But notice what happens if that's not the outcome. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean, an eye for an eye? It means that God wanted to set up punitive measures that did not give excessive leniency or extreme severity. You know, if you kill somebody, you're gonna give your life. If you scratch somebody, you're gonna get scratched. I mean, the punishment needs to fit the crime. So in this situation with the woman who goes into labor, if she goes into labor early and that child dies, you're gonna give your life for that. Why? Because a baby in utero is still a life that you killed. Do you see that God hasn't changed? Right? That's God's heart. God's heart is protecting the innocent, the marginalized. God cares about life. Why? Because we learn in Genesis chapter 1 that every single human being, Christian or non, is an image bearer of God. And how they are treated is a reflection of your theology. How you treat the marginalized and how you care for people and how you take care of others is a direct reflection on who you believe that God is. And here's what God says: love everyone, take care of everyone. And he's setting up these statutes for Israel. So there's not like, well, you know, he's my brother, or he didn't mean to do it, or he didn't this. And so, you know, a life was taken, but why don't you just fine him $10? Or that it becomes excessive when he does something that's not that big of a deal where you want to kill him. God was setting up his punitive system so that the crime met the punishment. Why? Because God is so loving and God is so just. That's who God is. He's perfect in his justice and he's perfect in his love. We'll go through these here at the end. This is really where we're starting to see some culpable neglect. Notice this: if a man strikes the eye of his male or female slave and destroys it, he shall let him go free on account of his eye. And if he knocks out a tooth of his male or female slave, he shall let him go free on account of both. What's it saying? I mean, if you're not giving a punitive measure like a rod to the back, but you're not gonna be violent with your slave, you punch his eye and he can't see anymore, you knock his tooth out, that slave can go. Why? Because the slave has rights, because the slave belongs to God. You can't treat people poorly based upon their position. You are called to love all people equally. That's why when Jesus says, do unto others the way you would have them do unto you, love them. I command you to love. That's how you're fulfilling the law. Notice this. This is where we get into some of that culpable neglect. In verse 28, it talks about an ox. We have cars. We don't have oxen, right? Most people in this era were farmers. It wasn't uncommon for a lot of them to have more than one ox or more than one donkey. And notice what he says: if an ox gores a man or woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. So if you have an ox and that ox wanders around and ends up killing a neighbor, you have to put that ox down. Now that may not sound like a big deal, but that's your property, that's your livelihood, that's your tractor, so to speak, that's pulling your load. You have to put that down and nobody can eat it. I mean, you can't use it for food or anything because it killed somebody else. That ox has to die. But notice what it says as it continues. Let's assume for the sake of argument, if however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring its owner and the owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned and its owner shall be put to death. So if you have an ox that is known to go out and has a history of wanting to go after people and gore them, and you don't take responsibility for your property, and that ox gets out and kills somebody, we're killing the ox and we're killing you because you knew better and you didn't take care of what you needed to take care of. Do you see how God's just? Do you see how what he's saying is fair? Do you see how he's talking about that there's personal responsibility for the things that you own and that it belongs to you and you need to take ownership of the things that happen because of it? It says, if a ransom is demanded of him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is demanded of him. In other words, God gives a caveat here, and you let that animal out and you knew it had the history of doing it and it killed somebody, you can plead for a fine And the judges can say, okay, here's an extensive fine and you can pay that. So there was a way out of it. It says this, whether it gores a son or a daughter, it shall be done to him according to the same rule. I find this next verse really interesting. If you're following along in your Bible, you'll find this interesting too. If the ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver and the ox shall be stoned. So if a male or female slave is killed, the slave owner gets 30 shekels of silver. Do you know why? Because 30 shekels of silver is what a dead slave was worth. Fast forward to the New Testament. What did Judas Iscariot sell Jesus out for? 30 shekels of silver. What was Jesus? He got paid the dead slave's wage. Anyone who wants to be great must be a servant, and the greatest will be what? Slave of all.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, God Values Love and Justice, from the series Exodus, exploring God's timeless principles of justice and mercy, showing Christ as the fulfillment of perfect love and righteousness. We'll return to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but before we do, we want to help you develop the habit of daily prayer and scripture reading by sending you the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, which includes daily Bible readings, prayer prompts, and space to journal your prayers. It's our thanks for your gift of support today. To request your copy, simply go to PastorJeff.com and give a gift to keep teachings like this one today going strong through Brave Media. Again, that's PastorJeff.com. Now, let's return to today's teaching.
He got paid the dead slave's wage. Anyone who wants to be great must be a servant, and the greatest will be what? Slave of all. That was the blood price for the dead slave, Jesus, who came to die on our behalf. Isn't that interesting? That's what the call was in verse 32. He continues in verse 33, if a man opens a pit, so you open a pit and digs a pit and does not cover it over and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to its owner and the dead animal shall become his. So if you own an ox or a donkey, I dig a pit, I didn't tell you about it, I didn't give you signs or warning, and your animal fell in, I got to pay you for that animal. I get the dead animal, but you get the money. So you can go get another animal. Verse 35, if one man's ox hurts another so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide its price equally, and also they shall divide the dead ox. So my ox kills your ox is dead, we get to split that ox, and I have to give you the ox that I have. We have to sell that and we split the proceeds of the one that was alive. Or if it was known that the ox was previously in the habit of goring, yet its owner has not confined it, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall become his. So if I knew it had the ability to go out and gore and I didn't do anything and my ox killed your ox, then you get the dead animal and you get mine too. I lose my ox. Do you see what God's setting up here? I mean, this is why you haven't heard a sermon on this probably in your entire life. And may never again, because it's tedious case law. But do you see how God cares for the marginalized? Do you see how he loves all people? Do you see how he sees that all people have value? Do you see how he's watching to ensure that all people are taken care of with his love? Do you see that God is just and he's right to do the right thing, even if it doesn't feel right to other people? That's who our God is. That's the one that we're gonna stand before someday. So God values love and justice concerning people and privileges. Let me tell you a second one. God values love and justice concerning possessions and property as well. God values love and justice concerning possessions and property. You still following along? You doing good? You came to church to learn something today, didn't you? All right, we're gonna do this. Notice this. It says, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 oxen for the sheep. There's remuneration. You can't just steal somebody something and not give it back. Here's what I would say today. You steal something from somebody, pay them back 4 or 5 times as much. Isn't it interesting when Jesus led Zacchaeus to the Lord? What did he say? Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've wronged anybody, I'll pay them back 4 times as much. Where does he get that? From the law. He's paying them back for what he stole. That's what he's saying. Now notice this, these next verses would fall under what we would call today like castle doctrine or castle law. says, if a thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. Somebody transgresses your property and comes into your house and you kill them, God says, that's okay. I think that's okay too. But notice what happens. He says, but if the sun has risen on him, means the next morning the sun comes up and the guy's still alive, there will still be blood guiltness on his account. He shall surely make restitution. If he owes nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. In other words, if he survives the night and he doesn't get killed, he's still guilty. And he still has to pay back four or five times as much. And if it turns out he didn't steal as much as you thought, you can sell him. Right? Why? Because stealing is wrong. You can't steal from other people. That's what God says. All stealing is wrong. Stealing from other people is wrong. Stealing from your boss is wrong. Stealing at work is wrong. Stealing from your friends is wrong. Taking things that nobody knows that you took without permission is wrong. 100% of the time. That's God's standard. Notice what he says here in verse 5. We're talking about property damage now. If a man lets his field or vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes to another man's field, in other words, the animal can't find food on his field, so he goes to another one, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. In other words, that animal leaves your property and goes and eats everybody else's. How do you make restitution? With the best you have. You're not gonna give scraps back to your neighbor like, hey, I'm sorry my animal ate all your crops, but here's some stuff. No, you give the best back because you're sorry that your animal took their stuff. In other words, when you hurt other people's property, give them back even more than what you took. I mean, that's the principle here. Care for others in a way that you would wanna be cared for yourself. Notice what he says in verse 6. Talking about fire. Fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that stacked grain and the standing grain of the field is consumed. He who started the fire shall surely make restitution. If you ended up starting a fire or it accidentally got started on your property and ended up taking care of, you know, burning down all their crops or their livestock or their barns or whatever, then you take it under your condition to make sure they have everything that they need. Pay them back. If you hurt somebody else's property, pay them back. If you get in a car accident and total their car, make sure that you have insurance. And if you don't, pay them back. You're responsible for other people's property if you're the one that caused the damage. Has God's heart changed? No, he still cares about other people. How about this in verse 7? Now we're talking about safe deposits. It's having other people keep some of your stuff. If you borrow things from other people and you keep it safe for them, notice what it says. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him and it is stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, he shall pay double. So somebody has you watch their animal and while you're watching the animal, the thief comes and steals the animal. If the thief is caught, he's culpable. He's gonna have to pay back double of what he took. If the thief is not caught, then the owner of the house shall appear before the judges to determine whether he laid his hands on his neighbor's property. In other words, you let me borrow your ox, the ox is gone. Bro, I didn't do anything with your ox. I don't know where the ox is. It wasn't me. I can plead my case before the judges and they can say, he didn't mean to do it, it was accidental. For every breach of trust, whether it is for an ox or a donkey, sheep, clothing, or any lost thing about which one says, this is it, the case of both parties shall come before the judges. He whom the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. So the judges would stand there and decide who was right and who was wrong. And whatever the judges decide, God said, that's what you must do. Do you see why in Exodus chapter 18, when Moses was standing all day with all the people dealing with all the problems, this is what he did all day long? And when Jethro, his father-in-law, was watching him saying, bro, you are gonna wear yourself out. Teach people the statutes, have them settle these things. That's why he delegated to do that. Because this would have been painstaking to have 2 million Israelites line up day after day, all day long to deal with every little issue, right? That's why our courts are filled with all sorts of little issues all the time, right? But whatever the judge decided, that's what you had to do. God says you need to listen to the judge. He continues, he says, if a man gives his neighbor a donkey or an ox or a sheep or any animal to keep for him and it dies or is hurt or is driven away while no one is looking, an oath before the Lord shall be made by the two of them that he has not laid hands on his neighbor's property and its owners shall accept it and he shall not have to make restitution. In other words, I did everything I could. I don't know what happened. It wasn't me. It wasn't my family. I didn't see what happened. Your animal ran away. It wasn't me. No problem. That just happens sometimes. But if it is actually stolen from him, he shall make restitution to its owner. If I say, bro, I didn't take care of it. It got stolen. I'm still responsible if we can't find the thief. If it is torn to pieces, let him bring it as evidence. He shall not make restitution for what has been torn to pieces. Hey, look, wild animal got your animal. I didn't have anything to do with it. I couldn't protect it. Let me show you what happened. If a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it is injured or dies while its owner is not with it, he shall make restitution. If its owner is with it, he shall make restitution. If it is hired, it came for hire. In other words, if I paid you to use something of yours, I paid you to use your ox, I've already paid you for it, and the ox died while I was using it, I've already paid you for it. I mean, that's part of what I paid for. If, however, I borrowed your ox, I didn't pay you anything, and the ox dies, I'm responsible. What is God saying here in all of these tricky things? If you borrow things from somebody else, you're responsible for what you borrow. And if you borrow it, it means you better return it in as good a shape or better shape than what it was borrowed in. Or you better say, I don't want to borrow it because that's your property. You keep it, right? Or you make a deal to say, listen, I'm watching it, but I'm not responsible for anything that would happen to it. Sometimes when people want to give me a book, I'll tell them this. If you give me this book, you will never see it again. So make sure it's a gift. Don't let me lend it because you won't see it. You need to know that up front, right? We need to take care of people's things when we borrow their things. If you borrow their car, return it with gas. If you borrow their car, return it clean. If you borrow things from others, take care of other people's things. Why? Because property matters to God. Possessions that you have matter to God. We like it when people take care of our property and possessions. And God's just saying, so he put it into law so Israel would know how to handle that. So God cares about love and justice concerning people and privileges. He cares about love and justice concerning possessions and property. Let me give you a final one here. You hanging with me? All right, we're getting there. God values love and justice concerning principles and priorities. Principles and priorities. In your Bible, it may say something like sundry laws. Sundry means various or diverse, all sorts of different things we're gonna see now. And he cares about all these. The first we're gonna see is sexual seduction. Notice this. It says, if a man seduces a virgin, that's an unmarried woman, who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife. That's a bride price to the father. If her father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the amount of to the dowry for virgins. So if there's a man and he is pursuing a woman who is not engaged to anybody else, and in the course of pursuing her, they come together and have sexual relations, he owes the father a price for his daughter. Now, the father can come in and say, no, I don't care what you're gonna pay me. You're still gonna pay me, but you're not gonna have my daughter because you're no good for her, right? Which tells us this, fathers, you should be involved in who your children marry. Dads, if you have daughters, I have two of them, don't let them marry the first jamoke that just comes down the pipe, right? That's what it's saying. It's saying, dads, you have a responsibility to make sure your daughters marry well. And if you don't want her to get married, she doesn't have to get married. That's what it's talking about. And by the way, if you're dating somebody and you're not married to somebody, let me tell you what she's not. She is not your property and you don't own her. She belongs to God and to that family, and you better make sure you treat her well, right? That's what it's saying. And before I get fired up, we'll pause there for a bit. All right. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, why? Because young girls matter to Jesus. They do.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, God Values Love and Justice, from the series Exodus, exploring God's timeless principles of justice and mercy, showing Christ as the fulfillment of perfect love and righteousness. Before we let you go, be sure to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, which helps you make prayer a priority in your life this year. It's our thanks for your gift of support today. To request your copy when you give today, go to PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, remember to sign up for email updates from Brave so you never miss new resources designed to equip you for courageous living. That's PastorJeff.com. Thank you for joining us today.